in our lives. So we pour out our praise to you only, Lord.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. It truly is His breath in our lungs. We have every breath to thank Him for. Amen. No promise of the next breath. So if you get a next breath, He gave you that. Amen. I want to use it to give Him praise, don't you? Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. Well, just stay here for a moment. God bless you. So I want to just also add my welcome to our visitors this morning. Excuse me. We apologize for whatever reason our overhead's not working this morning, and so that'll be looked into, so apologize to everyone for that. We have a guest minister this morning, as many of you know, Brother Dele Adelon, who comes from Lagos, Nigeria. So I'm going to venture a guess. I don't know, is that further than Norway? Or it's probably on the same order. So with the exception of our Norwegian brethren, I believe our brother has come farther to come to church this morning than anybody else. I actually have some Norwegian heritage from my dad's grandmother's side. And so welcome, Ken. our hearts go out to our sister Linda Salazar this morning, and as she and her family are mourning the loss of her brother, and so we ask that the Lord would bring comfort and strength to each and every one. You know, these things, it doesn't matter how prepared we are or not, it affects us, and so we look to the Lord for strength and comfort. And you know, on the flip side, as I was reminding somebody else earlier this week, or late last week, I guess it was, if you never loved anybody, you will never mourn, right? If you've never gotten close to somebody, you'll never grieve, right? So it's kind of a paradox, isn't it, that they come in pairs, right? So love is a risk, but I would say this morning that it's worth it. It's more than worth it. Amen? It doesn't take away the pain, certainly, but we thank God for the great times that we do have together, and for His blessings upon us, which many times He's blessing us through somebody else, loving us through somebody else. So we thank the Lord for that. And then furthermore, as Christians, we're comforted by the knowing that we don't just have a hope, we have a promise, right? This is just a temporary situation, and we will be reunited one day. So we're thankful for that. So, Sister Hannah was called up. I heard Hannah Van Ard, and no disrespect meant, but I thought, who's that? I'll get used to it. I'm Brother Luke, no disregard. I will get reprogrammed. Praise the Lord. So we're thrilled to have our brother Matt and Sister Mary Dexter with us this morning. God bless you. And so I found out that we share a birthday. Today is our Sister Mary's birthday, and I think Brother Matt said she's just over 20, something like that, right? Yeah. So happy birthday, Sister Mary. So this is her earthly birthday. This is my heavenly birthday. I was born from above 33 years ago today, so thank the Lord for that. I've never been the same, and I want to testify this morning that He's still keeping me. Amen. Confidence is in Him. We also want to keep in prayer. We have many, many families that are out traveling right now, taking advantage of the opportunity to, the kids are out of school. They'll go back to school, many of them, in early August, and so many are traveling the next week or two. So please keep each and every one in prayer, as we do for one another, for each and every one of us, when you're not here. And we're looking for them to enjoy themselves and have a nice break, but also to be safe and to return back safely amongst us. Excuse me. Amen. So I met our brother Deli in Nigeria at, I believe it was in 2018. I went to a convention in that brother, our pastor Jabez Kameda was having in the Ugeli state, and it was love at first sight. We didn't know each other before the convention, and we had the privilege of ministering together in the convention, and ever since then I've been wanting to get him out here, and one thing after another. We had the fire that kind of set us back a little bit, and then COVID followed after that, but he's able to be with us this morning, and so we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us, so we just invite you to pull in the gift this morning and recognize that God has everything in control, and that he's orchestrated every move, and so we're looking to him this morning, but we realize that he works through human vessels, and so you just pull whatever your need is. You just expect God to minister to your need, and you can be assured that he will. Those that are listening in, may the Lord bless you. Those that are sick, and may you also likewise pull on the gift this morning. Amen. If you would stand. We will sing that song, I Need You, Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I also want to thank the Lord for helping me to get my roof covered up. And I'm not completely finished with working on the roof. I've got some more reflective coating to put on there, but at least it's watertight. So now I say, let it rain. I wasn't praying for it to not rain. I wasn't being selfish. I was just praying that the rain would go around my house. And guess what? It did. We actually saw it just pouring buckets over in Sabino Canyon, a half a mile from my house. And we looked over on the other side near the Rincons, and it was pouring buckets. Andy and Julie's house was getting wet. And right in front of us in Mount Lemmon, but we were high and dry. So thank the Lord for that. Amen. And I pray that I don't have to do a job like that again. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Just sing it to him this morning. Just lift your hands to him. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Have your way this morning, Lord. So I lift my hands and I bow my knees and I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Is that your prayer this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I need you. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. And so I lift my hands and I bow my knees and I worship at your throne. I need sing that to him one more time. I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. So I lift my hands and I bow my knees. close out this morning, let's sing that song. He counts the stars.
He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Mountains and the sea, he's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make. Yes, he knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain, and I can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Yes, he does. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my name.
You believe he knows your name this morning?
He knows my name.
Amen. Give him a hand clap this morning.
Thank you, sir. Amen. I'd like to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't mind, I'll just request that we humbly bow our heads for a word of prayer. Blessed Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege that we have to be called your sons and your daughters. Thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you for the gift of life, the gift of a new day, and the gift of a new week. Even the privilege you gave unto us to come into thy house. There are many like us who perhaps would have wanted to be here, but one thing or the other in life has been their limitation. But Lord, we thank you for the liberty of the Spirit. We thank you for giving us a renewed hope. Thank you for good health. Thank you also for the praises and worship of thy people. We are taught that you inhabit the praises of your children. And by this we know you are in our midst this morning. Oh, Father, may you accept our offerings, accept our worship, accept our praises. We would ask also that you will accept our person. Let nothing, oh God, stand between our soul and the Savior. Dear Jesus, if there be anything against us this morning, we place them under the blood. May the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel speak for us this morning. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you will come by in your own manner to break the bread of life, that our eyes of understanding might be illuminated, that our hearts might be encouraged, that we might feel like traveling on. Do it for us, dear Master. Take us deeper in your love. Please take us higher in your joy. Let there be a surround of your Holy Spirit that will do wonderful things among us. May you move through this audience this morning, but don't pass anyone by. Please stop at the post of each person. May you discern their needs, O God. and grant to them the substance of their request and of their desires. At the end of the service this morning, cause that we shall be filled with thanksgiving. We shall be filled with your joy. Bless your servant, our pastor here. Bless all the ministries that are associated with him. Bless the music team. Bless the officers, the board of the church. And we want to ask your blessing upon every family, every individual. Do that for us, Master, as we commit ourselves, thy word, and this hour into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't keep you standing, I will suggest we read our Bibles. Then you will take the comfort of your seat, we'll get acquainted, and then we'll go to the Word. I try to do it this way so that in the course of the time, we get used to our accent. You get used to my language, and I will not be speaking in tongues without interpretation to some of you. So the Lord bless you, saints. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. In Matthew 6, we are reading two verses, and then we shall read a few more verses in Matthew 7, and one line in Deuteronomy 30. Matthew chapter 6. It's a place you all know very well. It's the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, I would like to read verses 9 and 10, if we are there. If we are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Matthew 6, 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Matthew 7, from verse 7 to 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Amen. And finally, sorry to keep you standing, Deuteronomy. I hope I pronounced that right. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30:30. I'd like to read the 19th verse, verse 19:19. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. I'd like to thank the Lord this morning for making it possible for me to be in the midst of the believers in this part of the world. Like the pastor had said, it's tried to work for me to be here since 2019, but I believe he make all things beautiful in his time. I haven't been able to come because he has not permitted me to come, but this time he has permitted me to come. I would like to appreciate our pastor there dearly very much for extending this arm of love to me to come and be of service to God's people, believing God that somewhere along the line we can be of a blessing. We met in 2018 at a convention back in Nigeria, and since then He told me it would be nice if I could visit the saints here to also be of a service and maybe a blessing. And, you know, sometimes people will talk and you never know if they really mean it. But it turned out to be that Pastor was very genuine. He had followed up with me over the years. And I appreciate him for not giving up on me until this appointed time of the Lord. May God bless you, sir. May God bless his dear wife and the family and bless every one of you. I came in on Friday, and since I came, I've met the pastor's wife, such a warm, very warm, loving sister. I might as well call mother, because, yes, yeah, she's acted that to me since I came. Everywhere I go, all over the world, I get new mothers. So I'm so glad to get one here. And I know there are many more that I haven't discovered. And we went to Mount Lemmon, and we're happy to also have a little time of fellowship with the family. They met us by chance while we were doing, was it an observatory, I can say? And they said, no, you must stop by, even if it's for a coffee, for a dish. Such warmth, I appreciate that. I don't know if they are there. Oh, there they are. All right. God bless you very much. We certainly had a good time. And yesterday also, we were joined by also another family to see the wild, wild west. And it was such a nice time together. God bless you all. I know if time permits, if I'm able to go around every family, you will do wonderfully for me. But I want you to know that the families I've met so far, they have represented you very well in terms of a good welcome, hospitality, and everything I've enjoyed in Arizona. The Lord bless you all very much. And I trust to God that we shall have a good time together in the Lord. The saints back in Nigeria, both directly from our fellowship, and other believers, friends who knew I was going to come here, they all told me to pass their greetings. My wife and their children, both my first generation of children and the second generation, they all told me to greet you all. I have two adult children who are married with their families. I call them the first generation. Then the ones that are still with me are a lot younger, 15 and 9. I call them my second generation. And I thank the Lord for making it like that. Otherwise, my house will be too empty, too early. So I call the last one, the 9-year-old, our toy. You know, it helps us to still feel like we are parents. So they all sent their greetings, and they are very happy for me to be here. So may the Lord bless you. Along my way coming, I touched down in Maryland. So I had the privilege of seeing Pastor Walls on my way coming for a night of service before coming down. He told me to greet Pastor and the saints very well. And also along my coming, another stop briefly at Minnesota, Pastor Blotewon told me to greet everyone. And also along my way coming, I stopped at Flagstaff. All one touch, stop, till we arrive here. Yeah, so, and Pastor Dale Smith also told me to greet every one of you. I have to do that because they said I should do that. And I don't know, you might come across them and they ask you, did that brother pass our greetings? I want to be sure I've been faithful to what I committed to doing. So please, if you see them, tell them, let them know I passed their greetings. So God bless you all. So this morning, if God will be our help, which I trust he will, I would like to speak on the subject that I called an unwritten law among us. An unwritten law. And that word or that sentence, I got it from the prophet when he was speaking on the choosing of a bride. So my subject this morning is choice. So that is the unwritten law. So that you don't, you are not wondering, are we going into legal studies this morning? We are not going into legal studies. We are not going into law. But the prophet did call choice an unwritten law among us. Amen. Choice is a law of God. but it is not written anywhere. There is no code or instruction of choices anywhere. And yet it remains a law of God. And the prophet said, in many things of life, and I will say in anything, in everything of life, we make choices. Amen. And the danger of choice is that we make it both consciously and unconsciously. This morning, when you woke up and you were preparing to come to church, the dresses you have on this morning, perhaps is not the only dress you have in your wardrobe. Yeah, but when you run through the wardrobe and you pick the one you are wearing and you left others, you have made a choice. The food you had this morning perhaps wasn't the only food at home. But when you took the one you ate and you left the others, you have made a choice. Even coming to church, perhaps there are many routes that led to the church. And you choose to go through one and leave the others. It is a choice. Sometimes it might not be deliberate, but you are making choices anyhow. So I want to be able to, by the grace of God, wake us up to the consciousness and the consequence of the choices that we are making. Because the choices we have made and the one we shall make has an effect on our past. That is our yesterday. Is the reason for who we are today. And if there is a tomorrow, the choices we make now will still affect our lives. So it is nice for us to get conscious of the choices we are making in life. Amen. The prophet said, in everything of life, we make choices. And the message, Choosing of a Bride, it was talking about different phases of choices that human beings make. It said, whichever choice you make, whether it is right or it is wrong, it is still a choice. The way you choose to lead your life, he called it a choice. He said, sometimes people choose to be educated, and some say, I don't want education. And some just want to learn a trade. Some wants to go to the university, and some other places. It is a choice. It said, sometimes you grow to a stage in life, you want to choose a life companion. You want to settle down with a wife or with a husband. The man makes the move. The woman accepts or rejects. Both ways, it is still a choice. Then it comes again, even to church, to religion. He said, whichever religion you want to practice, it's a choice. And there are so many broad spectrum of religion. Amen. It said you can choose to be a Christian, Islam, and all kinds. When you even choose to be a Christian, there are choices of denominations that you could make. It's still a choice. Then when you decide on a particular denomination, for instance, there are choices of churches under that denomination. So it's explaining those things to show to us that choices are like ripples. They keep going on and going on and going on all through our life. Every day that we wake up, we are making choices. But the question is this: why did God give the man the right to make choices? You see, I'm standing in a country that has a lot of respect, if they still do, for fundamental human rights. Excuse me, even if I do not live here, I understood by the messages that this is a country that promotes rights. Yeah. Amen. Now, these rights that we have, we will say it's God-given. And to some extent, it was the Lord who gave it. He gave you the right to make your choice. Now, the prophet called that a free moral agent. Amen. Now, for simplicity, I defined free moral agent as the ability for a man or a woman to make his or her choices without divine interference. So God gave you the right. Choose what you want. But my brother, my sister, let me say it up front, that this right of choice you were given is not actually complementary to your makeup. Because every description of creation, especially children of God in the Bible, calls them a sheep. If you are called a sheep is an animal that has no right. A sheep is an animal that cannot actually lead his or herself. It depends on leadership for survival. The prophet, in studying the sheep and, you know, not just spiritualizing it, but in telling us the real nature of the sheep, he said, if you leave a sheep by itself alone, it's lost, it's bewildered, it doesn't know how to turn. You make life a complication for that sheep. And all through the scripture, that is your description. He calls himself the good shepherd. If Christ is the shepherd, then he must have sheep. Because he also said, my sheep hear my voice. So certain people must be the sheep of God. Now, if God makes you a sheep and he gives you a blanket right, then there's a problem. So I want you to start understanding it from that background, that there is a problem. So the truth will be, did God actually give me this right of choosing? If he actually did, then there's a suspicion here. Why would he give a sheep that does not know how to use a right? The right. Aha. Okay, we're coming close. I want to make it as simple as I could, so that my young friends here can get something also. So bear with me if I look too simple for you. I'm not a complex person, but I get my message home by the grace of God. So the prophet told us, gave us a reason why. Brother Branham said, in the beginning, he said, before the beginning, when there was no time, because time is a loop created out of eternity. Now, those who are into computer science and so forth, information technology, they can explain to us better about looping. They are drawing up a program, and when they realize in that program that, okay, what if this happened? The programmer or the software developer does not cancel what he has drawn. What they do is that, okay, I haven't thought of death, but if it does happen, let me create a loop. Let me branch out of the main program and take care of that matter, then find my way back to the main program. Good. That is what looping is all about. Yeah. But you see, in this looping that God was going to create called time, he knew all about it. It wasn't an accidental arrangement. Because Brother Branham said, God has never had a new thought about anything. Every thinking he wanted to think, he thought before the Bible said in the beginning. The Bible started a narration from in the beginning. But there was a period before the beginning, which in the midst of the scripture you can connect with. Now, in this period before the beginning, the one whom we call God today was not even God at that time. The prophet said the best we can describe him as is the self-existing one. The one who exists by himself and for himself. Amen. And that is why he bears the name El Elah Elohim. Now, while he was in this form all alone by himself, God taught many things to accomplish. One of the first things he taught to do was to be God. And if he has to be God, he's got to have people to worship him. Because God is an object of worship. So there must be those who will worship him. Now, he also thought beyond being God. that the people that I will bring to worship me, I don't just want them to worship me. I want them to worship me with a sense of appreciation. You will understand me as I go on. Amen. You can worship God without a sense of appreciation. You can worship him as a routine. Do you understand? Okay, let me put it like this. You can enjoy this light without appreciating them. You think it's not possible? Now it is possible. You enjoy, if you haven't seen darkness before, you don't appreciate the value of light. Even if you live with it all the time. If you haven't been sick before, you don't appreciate the value of health. Okay, you are connecting with it now. So God wanted worshipers with a sense of appreciation. If all he wanted is worship, he could get it from the angels. They sing holy, 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 holy. But sometimes God gets tired of just one routine holy, holy worship. He wants some people who could sing from an angle of what they've been in a contrast. Now appreciating God for deliverance. This is why angels will not be able to sing with us. Some good time to come. Amen. Amen. This is why John of this hour, the bride of Christ, will be an heavenly showstopper. If you want to understand what I'm saying, read Revelation chapter 6. You see, when the Lamb took the book of redemption and he started there and he was ready to open it, that's Revelation chapter 5. The Bible said all the things in heaven were rejoicing. Even angels who knew nothing about redemption, they were rejoicing. Sure. Amen. The 24 elders were rejoicing. And you see, John allowed all of them to take turns. John was the last person who rejoiced. Because John was the one who felt, who has the beneficial effect of that redemption work. That was why the Bible said when he started rejoicing, the things in heaven, on earth, and underneath, they all kept quiet and listened. It's going to happen again. Amen. Because God is bringing all believers with a sense of appreciation. So within God in eternity, he said, I want these people to know me beyond being God. And if they are to know him beyond being God, he wanted them to know him in all his attributes, in all his abilities, things that he can do for them. In him is an attribute to be a savior. He's an attribute to be a healer, a deliverer, a redeemer, a provider, and all that God meant and is meaning to you this morning. But you see, there's a problem. If he is to heal, something must become sick. If he is to deliver, something must be in bondage. If he is to redeem, something must be out of place. Are you following me? If he is to save, something must be lost. These things cannot take place in eternity. Because eternity is all perfect. Nothing can be lost in eternity. Nothing can be sick in eternity. Nothing can be in bondage. Nothing can be out of place. And God knew that if these things never take place, they will just know me as God. They will not know me beyond that. And knowing him as God could still does not really bring a closer fellowship. God wanted a bonded fellowship. The prophet said he bear Jehovah. And Jehovah means a father with a large family. He wants his family to feel him. So in eternity he concluded, I must work out, I must devise a redemption salvation plan. I must work out a program to bring all these things to pass. And when the display of it is all over, I must bring back everything to myself. So with God, nothing was ever out of kilter. And nothing could ever be out of kilter. Every everything that has happened is happening and will happen. They were already provided for. So Satan is not as smart as you make him. And it's not as powerful as we make him, because he can't do anything outside of God's program that he conceived in himself before the foundation of the world. So in this conception, he knew that there will be a loss. There will be need for redemption. Somebody will get out of place. And God cannot do these things by himself. This is the reason he created Lucifer, whom he knew will eventually become Satan. When it was Lucifer, it wasn't Satan. But his end product is to become Satan, because compulsorily iniquity must be found in him. If iniquity wasn't found in him, his purpose isn't accomplished. Because to that end was he created. All right? So God created the Satan who will rebel in heaven and be thrown down upon the earth and introduce sin to mankind. And God created a creature for him to be able to take him to bring forth his sinful excess. And they call him the serpent. The serpent was also not an accidental creation. In the message Serpent Seed, Brother Bram said, serpent was created with the understanding of the principles of life. Yes, even things that Adam did not know. Right. It was gifted serpent because he has a job to do. My. Amen. Then God created the woman. Now, sisters, don't take offense. But we have to tell the story of creation. He created the woman, and he created her with a capacity to bring the fall. Yeah, that was what the prophet said. He allowed the devil some contribution, not in our creation, but in our design. To put certain features that he himself couldn't do in order to prepare her to take the fall. All these things were not accidental. But now, when he brought forth his own son, he brought forth Adam directly from himself. And that makes Adam original. Amen. And the woman he brought out of Adam, he could have brought the woman directly from himself. Because both the feminine and the masculine spirit, he brought them together in one creature. He could have brought them as two distinct creatures directly from himself. But you see, that will disqualify or prevent the woman from taking the fall. The prophet said these things were not accidental. They were divinely arranged in order for God to be able to demonstrate his attributes so that we can understand and enjoy him better and thereby worship him with a sense of appreciation. So the song leader wouldn't have to encourage you, brother, sing, sister, sing. You know you have to sing. The pastor does not have to plead with you, come to church. You know you have to come to church. You know you have to serve God. Because you can connect from where you were to who you are now. And you will know that the only appreciation you can give is to give your life completely. This is the kind of worshipers that God wanted. But God knew himself, he wouldn't get it until he upset his own program. So since eternity cannot be contaminated, he created a loop called time. And the Bible said, in the beginning. Time was a creation of God as a space or as a period to demonstrate these attributes. And when the demonstration days are over, time will blend back into eternity. So that nothing gets out of kilter in time, God allows eternity to be running a bit in the background. So eternity becomes the influence of everything going on in time. So he brought Adam, perfect creation. So Adam in the state he was cannot fall. But you see, he must be a contributor to the fall. So this is the reason, the only thing God could do is that I will give this man an unusual ability. And that is why he gave Adam free moral agency. So let me say it here this morning. The reason you are given a choice by God that cannot be divinely interfered with is for you to be able to bring the fall. So it's not something you should be too boastful about. I got my right. God's divine design for that right is to make you fall. It's in the quotations. Marriage and divorce, paragraph 153. Is that God knowing that by that it will fall. So the divine design of choice by you is to make you fall, I repeat, with all sense of responsibility. Okay? So this is why God gave you. Then when he put serpent in the garden, the woman is there with the capacity to take the fall, and the man is there with the right that will make him collapse. God went back and stayed in heaven. And the drama began. Satan is a spirit. He's not human. But for him to be able to inject himself into human race, he needed a body. And that was why serpent was there. And that is why serpent is no longer here today. Because the only purpose for which he was brought is to achieve that. Okay? So when the devil came into the garden, he found a ready vessel. And he incarnated serpent. The fullness of Satan went into serpent. So that through the serpent, Satan will get a child vicariously. And that was why in all the genealogy recordings of the Bible, Cain was never mistakenly or intentionally ascribed as a son of Adam or even a son of God. His biography was always of the wicked one. And that was why Cain never needed to be taught how to become angry. He was born sinful. He was born satanic. He was born not just with that, not just with a portion of that nature, with the fullness of that nature, because he became the full-blown son of Satan in flesh. So he wouldn't need teaching on anger. He wouldn't need teaching on envy. He wouldn't need teaching on murder. All those things are already coded within his genetic system. Are you catching it? So when Satan, by the serpent, beguiled Eve and the woman fell, do you know the creation as of earth has not been tampered with? The only person that will have perished will have been the woman. Because the Son of God that could bring the earth into chaos has not been involved. This is where the use of his ability to choose come into place. This is what God designed that ability for now. So God stayed up in heaven and was looking away, wanting Adam to choose by himself without his own divine guidance. The prophet said God knew what Adam will do by that. Amen. And Adam made the choice he made. And from that moment, the earthly structure collapsed. Because the highest creation fell, all other creations fell with him. And sin became introduced on the earth. This is the reason that right was given. Since God achieved his purpose of giving that choice, that right, do you know, I will show you by the scriptures, that he no longer wants you to exercise that right. Don't worry, let's just follow on. So when the fall took place, the need for the attributes, the powers, the abilities of God became necessary. Sickness became introduced. Being lost, being in bondage, being out of place came into being. And we now need a redeemer. We now need a savior. We now need a healer. We now need a redeemer. We need him in all the attributes that he has. So this is God accomplishing the thought of his mind before the foundation of the world. Until today, we still need those things because the choice that Adam made has a far-reaching consequence. But Brother Bram said, we'll come back to it again. But the prophet said, you can no longer be dwelling or brooding or sulking over the choice of Adam. Adam has made his choice. And in a nice way, it has achieved God's purpose. He said, but today it is yours. But the reason I must bring it to you is for two things. For you to know our choices can have a far-reaching effect. And for you to also know that the reason, the motive of God giving you the ability to choose was to achieve a certain end. God knew that you cannot undo choice by yourself. Believe me, he knew you cannot undo it. He knew all the time you will come up wrong. This is why in the Bible he said, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Please, if you can give me Deuteronomy 30, we read the other time. Let me show you something there. Since Genesis, after God achieved his intention by giving you the right to choose, he no longer wants you to choose by yourself again. He wants to take interest. Can you please put it on the board for? It's not possible. Oh, sorry. He wants to take interest in how you make choices. Okay, let's look at our Bibles together. Deuteronomy chapter 30, that verse 19. I want everybody to look at that scripture. Oh, okay, it's coming here, not there. Oh, so sorry. He said, I called heaven and earth to record against you that I have set before you life and death. Is it like that in your Bible? All right. Blessing and cursing. You can see that it has a, is it a full colon? So that's a semi-stop. That place is the free moral agency. In other words, do what? I have set life before you. I have set death before you. I have set blessing before you. I have set curses before you. In other words, make your choice. Are you getting it? But God, knowing that you can't choose correctly, if he let you have it, you will choose death. If he let you have it, you will choose curse. The most intellectual among us will do the same thing. Because choice is not guided by intellect. It's to be guided by revelation. Are you following me? This is why God silently, after the full colon, he said, therefore, choose life. Him telling you what you should choose is against the law of free moral agency. Are you catching it? He is not to interfere. But why is God picking interest in what you choose? Because his own purpose for giving you that in the beginning has been accomplished. It wasn't really his intention for you to choose by yourself. In the message by Faith Moses, the prophet was telling us the power of the choices we are making now. I'd like to read a little bit off from that. By Faith Moses, paragraph 77. He said, it may be this morning that there will be men and women sitting here that will make your final choice. You are today what you are. Whatever you are, take a little moment. Think about it. Who you are, what you are. He said, because several years ago, you chose to be what you are now. It's very simple this way. If somebody is a medical doctor today, he did not wake up this morning and become a medical doctor. If he woke up this morning and said, Pastor, announce to the church, I'm a medical doctor from today. Maybe pastor in gentlemanliness will say, okay, brethren, brother so-and-so said to, from today is a medical doctor. Call him doctor. Brother Bram said, call any man what he wants to be called. But you know what? All of us will know better than to come to consultation with you. Because we don't understand your pedigree. Those things do not just come by wishes. Amen. If you are a medical doctor today, you chose to be several years ago. And by that choice, you walked towards it. They say you must do sciences, you must do this, you must do that. You followed through. And at some point, you achieved it and they conferred you with a degree, a Bachelor of Medicine, Bachelor of Science. Then you become a medical doctor. This is what the prophet is saying. That whatever you are today, be it spiritually or physically, you made that choice not today. So you are the product of your past choices. Your life today is the consequence of the choice you made some years back. So we can take a reflection this morning and see how powerful our choices are. Let's fellowship with the prophet a little bit. You love him this morning. It said, and what you choose now will determine what you will be 5 years from today. Now watch, I want you to realize that the prophet wasn't preaching this message in an open air to suggest that maybe he was just targeting unbelievers. He was preaching it right at Bram Tabernacle to the believers. And yet he will speak things here that will look like it was embarrassing a believer. But he's trying to show you the power of choice. Okay, is that 5 years from today, you may be a missionary. 5 years from today, you may be a renowned Christian. Or 5 years from today, you may be in hell. Because you made the wrong decision. Or 5 years from today, you may be cleaning spittoons in the bar room. Wrong decision. 5 years from today, you may be a prostitute on the street. The choices you make today will affect your tomorrow. Is that, or you may be a man or woman that's a credit to any society because of your choice for Christ. 5 years from today, you may be in glory, gone in the rapture, because you made the choice today. The times we have an opportunity to be in the presence of God, to hear the word of God, we are making choices. Nobody comes into the house of the Lord and actually go back the way they came. Nobody. You either go back better or you go worse. Amen. The effect on either side might not be obvious immediately. But let me tell you, it's building gradually. So when you see a man who backslided today, that backslidiness never started one day and finished him one day. If you watch, there will be a catalog of arrears of prayer life, arrears of fellowship, arrears of no study, many things he had abandoned. Amen. They came to a climax and the system couldn't handle it and it collapsed. This is the power of our choices that we are making. You love him this morning. So if the choice is that powerful, the prophet said, I've got to advise you on how to make choice. How many will appreciate his advice? Amen. Amen. It's God who advised us. He said, my advice to you, when you want to choose, he said, don't look at the modern things around you. Amen. Choice shouldn't be by our physical eyesight. It should be by our inner eye. Don't choose anything by sight. Choose by faith. All right? And said, don't look at the modern things around you and the popularity and the glamour that could be, but choose rather by faith. In making choices, you must always consider the end of the matter. The sharpest eyes among us here, 20-20 or 50-50, will not be able to see more than 1 mile on a plain ground. And by the time you are looking at a mile away, you could tell that this is a human being, but you might not be able to identify the human being. That's the sharpest of our eyes. And if we are to choose by the consideration of the end, that means we need somebody with a super eye. Somebody who can see the end very clearly and discern what he sees from the beginning. That ability is not given to any human. That ability is given only to God. So that means we must choose in him. We must use his eyes, or at least his glasses, or his own binoculars to make our choices. This is why the prophet said, don't choose by what you see. Choose by what he sees. You love him this morning. Amen. Then in the message, does God ever change his mind about his word? 1965, 18th April, he said, paragraph 97, he said, it's best to have God's will. That's what he taught us. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. The scripture we read. We must submit ourselves to his will and his word. In making a choice, we must surrender to his will and to his word. I know something that will be running through your minds. It said, it will give me my free will. It will give me my heart desire. I'm coming to you. Don't worry. Don't be in a hurry. We must submit ourselves to his will and his word. Don't question it. Believe it. Don't try to find a way around it. Just take it the way it is. So many wants to go around and get some other way. And when you do, you find yourself going on. You even find God blessing you in it. You see how dangerous it is. But you are walking in his permissive will, and not in his perfect divine will. He permits it, as I said, but he will not let it be his perfect will. But he will make it work to honor and bless his perfect will. Okay, you don't get that now. But I'm reading from the prophet. Let's begin it like this. It said we must submit ourselves to his will and to his word. Two things. Yeah, there are two things. The Bible remains ever the word of God. How many agrees with that? Amen. But you know what? The message of the hour is the will of God. Aha. All right. There are times, this is how you will understand it. There are times when things that are written here, even though it's the word of God, but is not the will of God. It's not a slip of tongue. I mean that statement.
Sure.
I'm saying this is the word of God. Yeah. But there are times when the word of God may not be the will of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the reason God sent messengers in every age.
Yeah.
To come and declare the will of God out of this word for us. When Noah was here, it was both the word and the will of God to build a physical ark of gopher wood. It was God's word. And the will of God is for everybody to enter. Amen. But today, it remains the word of God. But it is no longer the will of God. If you build a physical ark of gopher wood, we will not enter there. Yeah, because that was a shadow. The real ark has come. This is the reason God sent messenger in every dispensation to declare the will of God out of the word of God. Then when you follow that will of God, you have automatically followed the entire word of God. This is why he said, you must submit yourself to the word and to the will. Then he said, don't question it. Don't find a way around it. Brother Bram said, if you seek to find a way, you will actually find highways. But you see, the moment you find a way around it and you walk in it, you are outside God's perfect will. Some people say, I like to settle down because they wanted their way. They say, I like to settle down for God's permissive will. Do you know what the prophet said? He said, the kingdom of God on this earth cannot be built on permissive will. So if you care to be in the kingdom, and if you're a kingdom subject, you can't settle for permissive will. Permissive will means something God allows, but he never accepted. Childbearing is one of them. The way we were being born was not God's introduction. It was Satan's prescription. God permitted it, but he never accepted it. I'm not playing with words. If he accepted it, when God came in flesh, he will not command you to be born again. He didn't make it an option. He didn't make it, maybe you can consider it. He said, you must. Underline must. You must be born again. And he was conscious of the fact that you have been born. That is why I use the word again. So if he accepted your natural birth, he wouldn't make a demand of a new birth. So if you walk in permissive will, I've had brothers say, and if I can't do the perfect will of God, let me walk in his permissive will. You are a time waster. Because at the end of the day, the will of God will still be done. Regardless. God, we always have his way. So don't wound yourself before you come back to God's perfect will. Amen. Amen. We must submit ourselves to that. Are we enjoying him? Yes. Then you will say, but he said he will give to me the desire of my heart. Don't worry, we have it all covered here. He said, but he will give you the desire of your heart. He promised that. You know that. He promised to give you the desire of your heart. And you, let your desire be the word of God. Let me tell you, church, a Christian has only one desire. And this one desire, he can apply it or operate it on anything and everything, physical or spiritual. What is the desire of a Christian? What the word says. Our Lord, when he came in flesh, in order to become the captain of your salvation, he must enter into the fellowship of your suffering. He must condescend to your level. He must bring Christianity, what he demanded of you and I. He must make it so low in order to be within our reach. Are you getting it? God didn't have to do it. But he wanted to show you the kind of relationship he wanted to keep between himself and you. That was why he became, the Jehovah became a little baby. Super sign. He told you like you told it. He staggered to walk like you did. He picked dirt on the floor. Maybe the mom will have even tapped the hand. I've told you not to be picking dirt again. And he will cry. Ha, ha, ha. And that was Jehovah. A body has not prepared for me. That was that body there. And he grew up and lived ordinarily. 100% man. As much as he was 100% God. The fullness of God dwelt in that body. And that body lived like ordinary man. Why did he have to do that? In order to show you a pattern. Now, in doing this, he told us, I do nothing. But what the Father say, but what I say from the Father. Did he say so? Did he say so? That means he has no will of his own.
That's right.
Think about it. He If that was the flesh God, the human God, what was he showing you? A pattern of how humanity can relate with God. The kind of unity, the relationship that must be with you and him. So meaning if you have, he adds the entire fullness. Amen? You have a portion. But don't hide under that. The prophet said the potency is the same. Mm-hmm. You take a scoop of ocean water and you take the ocean water, run a laboratory test. The chemicals are the same. One in the measure, one in the fullness. So this is why the Holy Spirit will go from body to body, but the character will remain the same. It will not behave properly, my brother here, and misbehaving me. It's the same content, it's the same potency, it's the same grace. So if it does nothing but what it sees from the Father, that shows it's showing you example that you can do nothing. And if you are doing something outside of what you see from the Father, you are a spiritual rebel. It's a sign that there is no established perfect unity between the spirit and the flesh. But he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask anything. So the power for the third pull is a complete union between the spirit and the flesh. This is why the prophet said, when we are truly redeemed, we no longer want our will. We no longer want our desires. Our desire become thy will be done on earth. So what will the desire of a Christian be? The word of God. Whatever he says. I want God's way to be my way as I journey every day. You love him, friends. Am I making it too tight for you? You know, the scripture said, man must not think for himself. Okay, you don't get that scripture. In the scripture where it said, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. That's the faculty of thinking. Amen. So if the mind of Christ be in you, Brother Bram said, that means you lose your own mind. And Luke, let me tell you, to follow Christ, you've got to be out of your mind. As long as you have your mind, you can follow. It will be a struggle because it will be your thoughts competing with his thoughts. And when the seals became open, the prophet said, the truth that came open came better than my personal understanding. Amen. So Brother Bram had to drop his own thinking. And he did drop his thinking. And you got to drop yours. That is why he said, when you are coming into this realm, you got no thought coming. You are only open to accept what he says. You love him. All right. I want to make it easy for you to drop your rights. Because right now, some of us may be feeling very miserable. This thing is still getting tight on us. We can't even do it. We can't calm down. Christianity is so easy. You see, because something takes over your body. The love of God in your heart. You can do anything for real love. And this real love can only be shed abroad in your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jacob did so many things for filial love. Let me give you a type. He wanted to marry Rachel, right? And they said he's got to work for 7 years. And the Bible said he worked dedicatedly for 7 years. And after 7 years, that was when... How do I put it now? They swindled him. Laban. That was when Laban remembered. He said, in our land, we don't allow the younger to marry before the elder. They never told him from the onset. He said, so the woman you're going to have now for this your work is Leah. But you see, in our land also, we don't mind you marrying two sisters. So what you're going to do, if you are still interested in Rachel, do another 7 years. And this is where I'm going. The Bible said Jacob was willing to do another 7 years. And it did that 7 years, and the Bible said it was but a light thing. He didn't feel it. Because something carried the burden for him. Love for Rachel. Make the job, make the burden to be very light. So if you truly love the Lord, the love for God makes the burden light. Divine instructions will never be grievous to you if the love of God is in your heart. But I say sometimes we got to make it appetizing. So I want to make it appetizing for you. So you can say, Lord, I surrender indeed. All right. In the message Choosing of a Bride, Brother Bram said, there are some choices God made for you that you never had a contribution in. Think about it. And you love them today. Except your creation, except you are becoming a pervert. He said, you love them. Let us fellowship with them a little. The prophet said, God made a choice of you. He made a choice for you. And he made a choice about you. Amen. Three things. Amen. Of you, for you, and about you. In these three choices, you had no contribution. And yet everything God chose for you, you love it, you embraced it. Then after we've gone through it, we're going to ask ourselves, if God could make these choices and we love them, what other choices in our lives can he not make for us? Sometimes you go to the pastor and say, Pastor, it's just upon my heart to do this. Could you just pray for me? And the pastor will say, let us find out what the will of the Lord is. People get on the edge. You know why? Because they already made up their mind. And they feel so insecure. They feel so scared. What if the declaration of God's will be contrary to what they want? It's a dangerous position to take, brother. It's a dangerous position to take, sister, because sometimes God answers you according to your heart, not according to his own desire. Amen. He told Amos one day, he said, the elders of Israel, they are coming to me with idols in their heart. In other words, they've made up their mind what they wanted. They are only looking for a rubber stamp. Yeah. He said, I, the Lord, will answer them according to the dictates of their heart. You don't want that, brethren. Because you come back to God if it backfires. You come back to God and say, but I asked God. You didn't ask God. You informed God. Many of us, what we are doing is giving God information. And you see, God doesn't fuse with any man. If you give him information, he say, that's all right. If you ask him, then he will tell you his mind. May God help us. So let us see these choices he made about you and I. I'm going to step up my language a little bit so the little ones won't take a wrong impression. In the Choosing of a Bride, I think it's only one message called Choosing of a Bride, paragraph 215 here. He said, remember what I said the other day at the breakfast. In the pollen of breeding male and female, you understand what we're saying? All right, there's a million of gems go forth. Millions of eggs go forth. But there is one of them live. And yet they are everyone just alike. One out of a million. Every one of them, the same egg and the same kind of gem. One of them lives and the rest of them dies. Okay? In your day of conception, a lot of lives were released competing for a lot of eggs. Is that right? True. Now, the position of each life on a row is neither an advantage or a disadvantage. Sciences have watched under microscope. And they have said, even sometimes, some gems of life that are way, 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 way at the back on the road, we climb, and the others we submit to the climbing. Think about it. We climb over the others and come to be the one to ripen the egg. Yeah, wow. That is why Brother Bram said, natural birth is even more mysterious than the virgin birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
So they watch these things. They can't even influence it. It said, which one will ripen the egg? Nobody knows. Amen. Which egg will be ripened? Nobody knows. So one out of several millions. And with the one that has been ordained to do eventually struck the egg. And the female felt conception. Now, who decided that? Who made that choice? I'm asking a question. God made that choice. We all agree to that? So, during your conception, many lives were competing for life. Amen? But God forsook the others and make it you. Then you became the conception. You started the race of life quite too early. Now, I want to ask Pastor, maybe if he will remember, during his conception, if God ever asked him, people can have recollections, if God ever asked him, would you like to be the one to be born to the world? He didn't, God never did ask him, he didn't know. It was fully and entirely God's choice. No matter how much inflation is taking place, no matter how hard life is getting, nobody wants to live here. You rather wait till Christ comes, isn't it? You want to stay, you want to live old. You treasure that life. But ask yourself, did you make the choice to come? You never did. God made the choice. Do you like it? Do you like coming here? You like being born? Praise God. So we can give God a pass mark. That was when he made a choice of you. It could have been another person, but he made it you. And you work so hard to protect that life. You go for medical checkup. You run full reports. If there's a storm, you are careful to avoid the storm. What are you doing? You are protecting the life you never gave yourself. Because you love that life. When you love your life, you love the choice of God. So he made the choice of you there. Number two, let's say he made some choices for you. You love him? He said, no one can tell which is the one that ripes the egg. Or what about it? God has to decide that just as you accept it. Now, whether it's going to be a boy or girl, he's going to make choice for you now. Whether it's going to be a boy or girl, blonde or brunette, or whatever it's going to be, who decides that? Pastor, we're coming back to you. Or who wants to volunteer? Maybe he remembered God asking him. Should I make you a boy or a girl? And you choose to be. You know, in my house, when myself and my wife newly got married, I always tease her. I say, you see, it's a wonderful thing to be a man. And you see, the man is in charge. The man has authority. The man is the head of this house. And she will smile. Says, it's the most beautiful thing to be a woman. I said, what is the beauty in being a woman? He said, until you become one, you won't know. Say, no, God forbid that I ever become one. No, I will never become one. Then I sat one day, I said, look at the two of us, each taking pride in our gender, and yet we never ask God to make us either this or that. Except you are a pervert, you don't want to. You get what I mean? Do you like being a boy? You like it, brother. You are an original creation. Pedigree, not perverted. With a true divine mind, not a warped mentality. So who took the decision? God. He made that choice for you. Amen. Whether it's going to be blonde or brunette, whatever that means, I think that has to do with your hair color. Good. Who decides that? That's God. Whether it's going to be black or white, who decides that? God. You say white is a blue blood. I would say black is the most beautiful thing God ever made on earth. Everybody, pride in their color and in their gender and their race. But did we ever ask ourselves, did God consult us? And yet we love what he did? So God had another pass mark. I'm building case for God. So you can find it easy to trust him for the rest of your choices. You love him this morning. All right. Let's take one more. The choice he made about you. Amen. Then Brother Bram said, in the message, Things That Are To Be, it said, before we came, God being a good parent, decided to make preparation for our coming. Then he created mountains. He created rivers, ocean, water. He created valleys, prairie, and all kinds of things. So much beauty upon the earth. And you come and say, I just like the mountainous area. I like to hike on the mountains. In fact, give me mountain or nothing else. You see, I kept wondering why they live on the mountains. Then I realized that was one of the choices God made about them. Brother Bram said, the kindness of your heavenly Father knew the things that you will love because he created you, so he understood your chemistry. And he puts everything to your taste such that you haven't come here to desire something out of the ordinary, out of what God created. You love the mountains, you love the river, some love this and that. But did God ever ask us, shall I create mountain? Shall I create the rivers? He puts everything in there. And when you came, you love those choices that God has made in advance. That was when he made a choice about you. So the question is, if God could make these choices of you, for you and about you, and you love it, what further choices in your life can he not make? Think about that a minute. This is why God came and showed interest in your choices. If you want to marry, he gave you how you should marry. And the prophet called it a remedy on how to marry our wives and how to live by them. The environments to marry from. How you must not get involved with unbelievers. The reason God could be bold to say that is because he has made choices for you that you love. And he wants you to come out right. This is why he gave you the message of the hour. It's not to interfere with your privacy, but to guide your privacy. To keep the things that matter to you, to preserve them, thus preserving your life. And if you are truly converted, if the spirit that wrote the word is in you, you will submit to the word. We must submit to his word and to his will. The desire of a Christian on anything is what the word says. That is your choice, brother. That is your choice, sister. Let me be wind down with this. Let's look at some few choices that have been made in the Bible and the consequences of those choices. There was a time Abraham and Lot, or let me say Lot, because Abraham made Lot. It was Abraham God called, and it was Abraham that called Lot. So Abraham was called of God, Lot was called of Abraham. But in that journey of their life, God considered Lot as an extra baggage. And that was why the prophet said, Abraham was not actually truly blessed until he completely separated, not only from Lot, even from his father. We're not saying be unkind to the families. That's not what I'm saying. That's right. Amen. You've got to be sweet. You've got to be loving. You've got to still be family people, but know when to draw the line. So, it came to a time that the wealth of the two parties couldn't be contained in a certain locality. And Abraham called Lot. He said, it is not good for our workers to be fighting. The whole land is before us. Make your choice. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. Ordinarily, it shouldn't be Lot making the first choice. But Abraham was too much a Christian than to allow those things to bother him. He preferred his brother ahead of himself. So it looks as if Lot has been waiting for such an opportunity. But unfortunately for Lot, he never made a choice looking at the glasses of God, using the eye of God. The prophet said, choose by faith. Faith is God's eyes. Choose by the word. He didn't look through God's eye. He looked through natural eyes. He was choosing based on physical benefits. The Bible said he looked at the well-watered plain of Sodom. And Brother Bram said, all he could see there is economic prosperity. If I could get my cattle to graze on that land, in less than a year or two, I will multiply my wealth. And by the time my wealth becomes multiplied, I will rearrange, I will build a better building, I will drive a better car, my kids will go to better schools, and all those kinds of things. He was going completely outside of the purview of God. Brother Bram said, in taking decision of even where you live, he said, don't go too far from where the fire is falling. It's a quotation. Your soul must be the first in any choice. Your spiritual welfare and that of your family. Every other thing must come secondary. That's what the word says. So be guided by that in choosing. But you see, when you are looking with your natural eyes, the things that you are not seeing are much more than what you are seeing. Because of the way Lot was looking, he didn't see his wife becoming a pillar of salt. He didn't see his children perishing in the land of Sodom. Yeah. Some of Lot's children perished in Sodom. The two that came out with him were yet to marry. But the Bible said Lot are sons-in-laws. Not even son-in-laws, sons-in-laws. Meaning it's God's daughters who were married. And you see, by the law of headship, he couldn't fetch those daughters outside their husband's permission. So he talked to the sons-in-law, but they wouldn't have anything to hear about it because the sons-in-laws were sodomites. Don't ruin your family. So because this other land is too far, we've got to marry from our environment. And day by day, Lot didn't enjoy his time in Sodom. Read your Bible. The Bible said his righteous soul was daily vexed. When your soul is being vexed, why didn't you do anything about it? He was looking at his wealth. So he didn't see his wife becoming a pillar of salt. He didn't see his children perishing in there. He didn't see himself going into Sodom with plenty and coming out with nothing. Escaping by the edge of his teeth. He didn't see himself ending it up in shame of incestuous relationship with his daughters and becoming father by them. It was a miserable life. His choice never paid off. There was a Moses who had an opportunity of choosing. He looked out at the same window that Pharaoh looked. When Pharaoh looked at Israelites, he saw slaves and mudlubbers. People who are reaching off. But one day, Moses, by faith, isn't that what the scripture said? Refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son. If it was by faith, then somebody must be responsible, because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing nothing but the word of God. Faith is designed to only rest upon the word. So somebody was responsible for Moses' faith building. And that is the mother. Because there was no tabernacle, there was no church of God, there was no message of the hour in the palace of Pharaoh. So if Moses ever had anything by faith, he got it from a godly mother. Who by divine design was hired with wages to raise him up. So, and when that faith take a hold of him, he didn't see slaves. He saw a people that would become a mighty nation. And the Bible said by faith Moses refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son, choosing rather to suffer reproach than to enjoy the treasures of Egypt and its pleasure, which will be for a while. Friends, his choice paid off. 800 years after he left, he was standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, right in that same promised land. And today, that we can mention him in our sermons, that we can give his names to our children, shows that Moses is immortal. He made the right choice. Choose rather by faith. Paul left all. He said, the things that were once dear to me, I count as a dross. And at the end of the journey, his choice also paid off. He said, I see a crown of glory waiting for me. Not only for me, but for as many as loveth his appearing. And let me drop this finally. Our prophet also had to make a choice. The prophet as a man would have wanted to do things in his own way. But God taught him that your shepherd selected the path you must tread. And that was why, even as a man, when it got at him sometimes, when he looked at his contemporaries, who were more like a beneficiary of his ministry, and he looked at their success and the way they enjoyed, applied their successes, it gave him some moment of thinking sometimes. And like when he saw the future home of Oral Roberts and so forth, and God said to him, no, look up. I am your everlasting portion. I am your eternal portion. It was hard decisions. Then he said, I choose to be poor. And you wouldn't understand that statement, because I know you are the people who have the history and everything, especially in Jeff and Arizona. I don't know about it. But I know what the word says. Now, the way I take it is, if you look at the opportunities the ministry offered the prophet and how he lived and what he lived by, he was actually a poor man. He lived so humble. He wouldn't live in the midst of the plenty that could be made available to him. He said, I want it to be like this so that I'll be able to teach faith. I want it to be like this, that I could depend on God. I want to exercise my faith, to have to trust God for the daily need for the next thing. He could have made his meetings as great, with a lot in expenses like Horror Robot and Billy Graham and so forth. He said, but I want to keep it so humble, so that if six people invite me, I could make myself as available to them as I will have made myself available to 30,000, 100,000 people. Some of his contemporaries couldn't do that because they run a lot of expenses. It's not their fault. They run a lot of expenses for their campaign. So few congregations cannot support that. And let me tell you, this decision of his, when he eventually accepted, created a momentum in heaven. It made a mark in glory. So one day he has preached, talking on the church, and one of the great bishops said, Brother Bram, you couldn't have meant that. And they said, I have to mean every word of that statement. And one young man, they call him Danny Henry, asked to walk over to him, greeting him, maybe sarcastically speaking, I don't know. But I believe the Lord showed mercy on that young guy. He held on to the prophet and said, Brother Brown, what you've just said could have formed the 23rd chapter of the book of Revelation. And we know Revelation has 22 chapters, meaning that that will have been an addition to the scripture. And the moment he said it, instead of the angel of the Lord striking him dead, he struck him to give one of the greatest compliments the prophet ever needed as an encouragement for the ministry. And God did it before all. The man spoke French when he was an Englishman who never understood one word of French. I believe that's where the name of the fellowship here came from, Love Divine. The man spoke French. And God, who knew that will happen, had positioned three interpreters, professional interpreters, born interpreters, into the audience. Two men and a woman. And each of them submitted the translation. It was said that even to the commas, to the signs, everything was perfect. And what did that thing say? Let's hear what he said. You love him. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the other way. So heaven recognized the choice Brother Brown made. Remember, he never chose that of himself or by himself. It was what his messenger wanted for him. It was what his master, wanted for him. Only believe, only believe. He said, your shepherd selected the path you must tread. If truly we are the sheep of God, we must allow the shepherd to select our path. As individuals, as family, as a church of the living God. The Lord never sent the messenger to give us the conduct, the orders, the doctrines, how to do things. Amen? Just to show us as a different denominations. Is to reveal the mind of God to us. As is acceptable, is as is provided way to establish contact and grace with him. We must be satisfied. The messenger submitted to the will of God. Our Lord in flesh submitted to the will of God. And you and I will never make it any less. This is why he said, when we are redeemed, we no longer struggle with his will. It becomes so natural. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the other way. Thou hast walked in your own choosing. The heaven said, thou hast picked the correct and precise decision, and it is my way. Because of this momentous decision, think about that, momentous. When the prophet submitted completely to the will of God, it created some attraction. It created some buzz in heaven. That is why heaven said it was momentous. Just as when a sinner comes to God, they throw a party in heaven. It is momentous. I pray God will recognize your little efforts. Amen. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven will await thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This in itself is that which will give and make come to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. Amen. If a huge portion of heaven awaits our prophet, and if I accept the prophet in the name of the prophet, I'll get the reward of the prophet. May the Lord bless you. I hope I've made it easy for you to submit your will. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Which is
that ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. We were just speaking, I believe it was a previous, not this last Wednesday, but the previous Wednesday. Actually, we started the series with Who Am I? And then we That following Wednesday, we began to give a little answer. Paul said that he was a prisoner, right? And we started looking at what makes you a prisoner. He was free to do whatever he wanted, but he became a prisoner to the will of the Lord. Amen? And thereby, as he's pointing to the last church age messenger who certainly set the example, and yes, we did get the inspiration for even the name for our church from that statement that was made, and because it so struck us, that's a masterpiece. Or could I put it another way? I believe that was a piece of the master. Yeah. Amen. So we're looking forward to more services as our brother's with us, and what else that the Lord has for us. But there's enough there for you to ruminate on. And if you're not familiar with the term ruminate, that's if you've got several stomachs, you swallow it and then you go and lay down, and then it comes up again and you chew on it and say, "Wow, that was good." And then you swallow it again, and then it comes back up and you chew on it, and, "Wow, that's still good." You say, "Oh, that's horrible." Well, okay. Spiritually speaking, amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. So let's stand this morning. My. An unwritten law among us. Powerful. God wants what's best for you. Yeah, as we've said so many times before, and it just dovetails with the thoughts that were brought this morning, this is not a walk of misery and, must Jesus bear the cross alone. If you don't love this walk, it's because you haven't been born again. Because he wants what's best for you. He wants to take things from you that are not good for you. But Paul said that the secret to this walk was whatever situation that he was in, to be content. Right? Well, I believe that God has made choices that if you will walk in them, you will be content. You will have peace. You will have joy. Most of our struggles in this life come when we make our own choices, right? I've had people come, as our brother was referring to earlier, I've had people come and they've already made up their mind. They've already made their choice, and they're looking for a confirmation. And they're shopping, actually, because if they don't get that confirmation, they'll go to somebody else. And until they find somebody I had a brother tell me one time, he said, "I prayed and I said, 'God, if the direction that I've chosen to go forward in isn't your will, then shut the door.'" Well, he wanted to do that. And so he did it. And the Lord didn't shut the door. And then he had problems afterwards, and now he's mad at God. "God, why didn't you shut the door? Well, why didn't you wait and let him lead you?" Wow. Right? Why didn't you surrender? As our brother said, it's so simple. Just as the word was brought so beautifully, God brings it down to our level. It's not supposed to be a mystery to you. God wants to lead you and guide you. Amen. As a great shepherd. And your life is not supposed to be a mystery to you. He wants to show you. I mean, what good would it be for us to ask for his will in our life if he's not going to show you? Right? Amen. Wonderful. Well, we could go on, and we're not going to. Amen. But let's just worship for just a moment or two before we dismiss. Come on up, Brother Mike. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Was anybody helped this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I love asking questions. They say never ask a question that you don't know what the answer is. I already knew what the answer to that one was, so